This is the first time I've tried to preach from a laptop, so bear with me just a little bit here. I appreciate the service so far and enjoyed the Sunday school. And what Dayton had to say goes along a little bit with what I'd like to share this morning. I'd like to turn to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 13. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So there's a lot of substance in this passage, and I'm going to kind of focus in on one part, but a couple phrases that stood out to me here. One that stands out is at the beginning it says, "Hope to the end." And, you know, that really struck me as I read that each of us has a hope. If we're saved, if we are following Christ, we have a hope in our hearts, and we need to hang on to that till the end. And when I see, when it says the end there, it's not the end of hope, in the sense that hope is gone, but it is the fulfillment of our hope. And we know that at that time our hope will be completed and we will have what we have spent our lives anticipating and hoping for. That was a real encouragement to think of that thought. And then skipping down to verse 17, here's the verse that I wanted to focus on more. It says, verse 17, "If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." And the words, "pass the time," really leaped out at me. And I've been thinking about that idea of time and what we do with our time. And this is something that has come out of my own life and my own struggles with dealing with time and making the most of my time, you might say. He's not just saying to pass away the time somehow until I come back, but he's saying live your lives in the light of eternity. Live them wisely. Be living in a timely manner. And then he goes on to talk about why we should live this way. He says it wasn't gold or silver or money or something precious, earthly precious, that brought us salvation. It wasn't a small, cheap act that brought us Christ. It was God's own Son, perfect, holy, spotless, the sacrifice that he made for us. And that should be our motivation for passing the time in fear. In Galatians it says that Jesus came at the fullness of time, and I wanted to just talk a little bit about the timing of God. You know, God planned the event that brought Jesus to earth. He planned the time when Jesus came, and it says before the foundation of the world that God had planned this. He was looking forward to the time when he could bring salvation to the world and send Jesus to the earth. And the more I know about history, the more I realize that you know, God really did plan this time, the time in history that Jesus appeared on the earth. You know, in school we learned about the Pax Romana, which is the time of peace that the world experienced that coincided with Jesus' birth. And I don't think it was a coincidence that it happened at that time. It was about 175 years of peace that started shortly before Jesus was born. There was very little warfare and so on in that area of the world at that time. Of course, Rome was a very rigid and violent nation, but they kept the peace, and they were in control. They had an efficient road system for travel. Paul and the apostles were able to travel throughout the region because of the roads. They had laws. They had an army that was there for protection. In fact, if you remember, it was because of the Roman army that Paul survived some plots against him by the Jews. So God's timing in bringing Jesus to the earth, it was God's timing. He knew best. And that I think that we see in the time that Jesus came that God knew and he had planned it out. Now we see that really the Middle East has not really had peace or stability since then for very long periods of time. On the other hand, we as people often struggle when it comes to dealing with time. I know I do. I struggle with wasting my time or spending time on insignificant or frivolous things. William Penn said, "Time is what we want most, but what we use worst." And I found that that's often true for myself. You know, I complain about not having enough time, but then the time that I do have, I often use it for things that really are not useful or are not beneficial. And the thing that struck me is that the phrases that we use to speak of time, you know, we talk about wasting our time or spending our time or losing our time, and you could really insert the word life in there instead. It sounds better to say time, but if you would say waste your life, spend your life, lose your life, really time and life, they're kind of synonymous. Our life is made up of time. It's a limited amount. There's a saying that says there are a million ways to lose time, but not even a single way to get it back. And I think that's very true. I'd like to read a little passage here in Romans and look at some phrases the Bible talks about time and different things it uses to talk about how that we should take care of our time. Romans 13:11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." So he says, it is high time. And do we recognize the significance of the times that we live in and the time that we have in our life? Do we see also here, he mentions that the fulfillment or the culmination of our salvation is getting closer all the time. Now it is closer than ever. Christ is returning at some point. We don't know when, but we must be ready. We must be ready. We must use our time correctly. So he urges us here in this passage to walk honestly, not hiding things. You know, one day time is going to reveal all the secrets of our heart, all the secret sin that the world that is hidden in the world, in our hearts and in people's lives, will one day be revealed. So let's take care of those things now. Let's not wait for time to reveal them and have those things condemn us, but let's deal with them now that we have time. A couple thoughts I had on this passage as well. It says to make no provision for the flesh. How do we avoid making provision for the flesh? And a couple little things I thought of here, just in practical terms. You know, the drunkard, he makes provision for the flesh by choosing to walk past the tavern instead of walking another way that would be just as easy. Maybe closer to home, we make provision for the flesh when we click on that website that we should have avoided. Or we make provision for the flesh when we pursue the latest and greatest things that money can buy and spend our time doing that. Or we make provision for the flesh by just pursuing pleasure with our spare time and make no room for God. We make provision for the flesh instead. Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." I really like that verse talking about seeking the Lord and then the result being that he comes and rains righteousness upon them. So they spent time to seek the Lord. He was making a promise here. If you make your time to seek the Lord, he will rain righteousness on you. Talks about fallow ground, and fallow ground was ground that was once useful, was tilled up and used for something, but it has become hard and useless. And, you know, sometimes in our lives we have areas that we have allowed the flesh or the devil to sort of gain something in our life. And we have to take those back and till up that soil so that it's ready to receive the good seed. The Bible talks a lot about how our life is fleeting, how that man's life is a short time. He, as it said in Peter there, he's like the grass. The grass grows up, it gets green, and in a season it's gone. It's withered away, it's brown. And in James 4, verse 14, it says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You know, that's really a vapor. We see the mist in the morning, and when the sun comes out and heats it up, it's gone. And that's how our lives are in light of eternity. Little time. So our lives are fleeting. And then as we think about the fact that time is fleeting and our lives are fleeting, it reminds us that we have to take the opportunities that we have now and take care of them. When our responsibilities, our opportunities we have today, they will be gone at some point, and you can't go back. Further down in James there, it says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And I think tying those two verses together a little bit, you know, when we know that we have a little time and we have a responsibility, but we don't take care of it, that can be sin for us. Today and its opportunities will never come your way again. What you've done in the past is gone, and you can't really control out of your future, but you can decide what you're going to do with today. Charles Spurgeon said that yesterday is a canceled check, tomorrow is a promissory note, but today is cash, so spend it wisely. You've got 24 hours to spend as you see fit. How much time do you give to the Lord? Does he get the leftover minutes, or does he get a priority time slot? Here's a little phrase or saying that I found. It says, I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. You know, our time, how we spend our time today determines what our eternity is like in the future. 1 John 2:18 says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." The devil knows that his time is limited. And he's got a chance at you for as long as you live. And it's a short time. But he's got a chance to take what you will give him and take you if he can. And he's going to make the most of it. And I was just imagining, suppose the devil wanted to stop, sidetrack, or make ineffective the Christian, and he does. Now, he can't create anything new in this world, but he can take man's inventions and devices, and he does, and infiltrate them and harness their power to distract, to tempt, to weaken, to steal away our time of any Christian that he can reach. And I would imagine that he would, if he could get into our devices, he would make programs and apps to entice us, to tempt us, to flatter us, and to promote the world's values, to muddy the truth, to waste our time, and whatever else he can do. And he would inundate you with all sorts of lies and sin and heresy and perversion until you're desensitized and you don't know which way is right and you're confused. And he will not be content until you get to that point where he has you in his trap. And I think the devil has made a fairly effective battlefront against Christians in this way. And sometimes we fall right into his traps and schemes. And of course, we don't often need a lot of help to fall into those things because our flesh longs for those things. I don't know if you've heard of so-called gateway drugs, but when they talk about addictive drugs, there's this talk about gateway drugs, and these are drugs that are considered less harmful. They're softer or not as hard drugs, such as maybe alcohol or marijuana or something. But they found that people that take those type of drugs are 100 times more likely to end up taking a hard drug like cocaine or heroin. And the idea is that, you know, once you start down this pathway of something that your flesh wants, you will continue down that pathway until you stop yourself and go back. And so I was thinking, you know, we need to watch out for the gateway drugs of our flesh. We all know in our heart where our weaknesses are, and we know those things that we need to overcome. And we shouldn't be feeding those gateway weaknesses that could lead us into some weakness that overcomes us. So be aware of those things in your life. Colossians 4, verse 5 talks about redeeming the time. So I was thinking on the maybe the more positive side, instead of wasting our time, let's redeem our time and make it count. Instead of letting it pass, let's make it count. We get it right the first time. I think redeeming our time is living our life consistently focused on what God would have us to do. You know, and that starts in the little things, the little responsibilities that we have, whether it's at home or at work, your family, your spouse, your children, all those things. If you are taking care of those responsibilities, if you are dealing with those as God would have you, I believe that you are redeeming the time. I think of this myself as a father. This really hits me a lot to think about the short time that I have to help my children to get them to adulthood with the things, the instruction that they need to live a victorious life as they grow up. You know, I have a short time. There's not a lot of time. As parents, we don't have a lot of time. We have to make the most of what God has given us. God has given us the authority, the mandate to train our children, and we have one chance at it. Let's not waste it. I don't want to waste that time that I have and let time pass and just not take care of it. That really struck me. As young people, I know you young people, you don't have children that are your responsibility, but there's other things that you can do in your life to redeem the time. And I think one of those things is just making wise choices and habits right now. Many people look back with regret on their youth, and they see that, you know, if I had done this, if I had been more committed, I wouldn't be facing the battles and the temptations that I'm facing today. So if you make your choices today, make good choices today, make good habits today, you will be better prepared for the future that comes your way. Sowing good seed is like investing. Invest your time in the Lord now in making good choices, in making good habits, and you'll get returns, good returns from that later in life. Stand firm now, do battle now, and it will be easier for you to do battle in the future. You will be ready. Don't fall into the trap of putting off the good that you know to do now for a more opportune time. You know, so often it's easy for us to say, well, you know, I really should do this thing. I should go talk to this person. I should go take care of this problem, but I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it whenever I have some more time. And we often end up not doing it all. There's a poem, a song that I'm going to grab that, sorry. This is a song that My wife's family sings, and I heard it the first time one time when they sang it, but this is a poem written by Connie Smith. It says, I got up on Sunday morning, went to the church at 10. I listened to the words I'd heard time and time again. The preacher spoke of sinful lives. It seemed he spoke of mine, but I was young and I have plenty of time. I walked on down life's pathway, living as I wished to live, how to beat the other fellow, how to get what life could give. Making money isn't sinful. Having fun is not a crime. So I'll just wait. I've got plenty of time. Plenty of time to decide where I'm bound, to eternal darkness or to heaven's ground. I'm just a young man, not yet in my prime. So I'll just wait. I've got plenty of time. Before I knew what happened, life's scenes had passed away, and millions stood before God's throne, for it was judgment day. Now eternal darkness beckons, and the name it calls is mine. Now I've got nothing but plenty of time. You know, that phrase, plenty of time, we use it sometimes, but really we don't have plenty of time. So often that is a lie that we believe. But so spend your time wisely. And in closing, I want to read these three verses out of Revelation. Revelation 22, verse 12, and this is Jesus speaking. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city.